Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
It's Linda Ockhold Jenner here again with another SBCN Small Biz podcast. As you know, I'm one of the co-founders of the Small Business Community Network. And recently I've got to know one of our newer members, Tom Riley. He's the founder of Riley Sales Consulting. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Linda. How are you doing today?
I'm very happy the sun is shining and we've got no snow.
It's finally starting to get a little warmer. Thanks for having me on the show today.
I think it's very important because you come from a completely different background, business background to myself. And when we sat down and had a chat, I found you really interesting to listen to and talk about your experiences. And I think today you want to touch a little bit on a really important topic. But first of all, Tom, you've recently started your own business. Is that correct?
Yes, I started it up last year.
And what kind of business are you in?
So it's sales consulting, as the name implies. So I help organizations sell more faster by streamlining their sales operations and up-leveling sales skills.
Okay, so I'm sure you didn't just jump into this kind of business with no experience at all. I'm guessing you've got quite a good background to be able to help all these wonderful businesses.
Yes, I've got quite a good pedigree. So for a couple of decades, I've developed, trained, and led high-performance sales teams in global organizations such as Oracle, Canon, Xerox, and Lexmark. And I've taken that experience and started up my own consulting firm.
Wow, I think it's amazing when someone like you, who's got that much of experience, goes out on your own because you've got such a lot to offer to the kind of businesses that, you know, you are working with. I really love the topic today, and it's the importance of nonverbal communication in life, in life and in professions. So what made you come up with this idea, Tom?
Well, it's one of the core foundational skills that we do teach when we're up-leveling people's sales skills. It's, I think, a fundamental skill that anybody in a position of persuasion, influence, or negotiation should put a lot of time into mastering. You know, about 60% of our communication is nonverbal. Language is actually a fairly recent development in our evolution as human beings. You know, for millions of years, we communicated with each other as these, you know, pack animals, as these tribes, without language. And so a lot of our lower portions of our brain, the more, you know, primordial parts of our brain, still interpret and express a lot of information nonverbally. And those parts of our brain are a lot faster than, you know, our cognitive neocortex, the newer parts of our brain that actually communicate in language. So there's a lot going on when we're looking at people, watching people, talking with people that, you know, we should be aware of and be able to interpret if we really, really want to be present and, you know, truly actively listen to the person, not just with our ears, but with our entire body, to truly understand what is being communicated to us.
Oh, so I'm a woman. I talk with my hands a lot. Sometimes okay. I knock over a glass of wine when I'm talking to somebody because I'm very... so what clues can we get then? So you're going to probably sell something to me, a widget or something, okay? And we're sitting down, having a glass of wine, and you're talking to me about, you know, your widget. So what would my hand gestures, you know, moving around, what would that tell you about me as a prospective client or customer?
Yeah, I mean, we could key on hands if you want, but, you know, we look over the entire body, everything from breathing patterns to eyes to fingers to feet, everything we can see. But what we're really looking for are signs of stress or signs of comfort. And this is really important just even socially. If you're having a conversation with someone, you know, a lot of people hide their fears, hide their pains. Mm. And you could be talking to someone about a topic that might be very sensitive to them and giving them, you know, some stress, negative emotions, and you're not aware of it. And you might just keep babbling on about it, which is an uncomfortable situation. And people are polite and might not tell you, you know, this is making me uncomfortable. But if you're aware of it, then it's pretty easy to switch topics, see them relax a little bit more, start giving off more open signals, less stress, and now you know they're feeling better. And that's just, you know, an example for everyday socializing. But if we look at a sales situation or a negotiation situation, where you're a lawyer, you know, you have someone on the stand or you're selecting people for your jury, seeing these signs of stress or comfort can be, you know, extremely strategic and very, very important to you. For example, if, you know, you're in a bank and working with someone and you mention, you know, something about a credit check and they say, yeah, everything will be fine, but their body is giving off signs of stress, you know, that might be something you want to look into a bit more diligently.
What kind of stress, though? So, I guess they're sitting in, like, the bank manager's office. What would that stressful person, you know, how could the bank manager or whoever tell that they were feeling stressed with the question?
Certainly, I could give some examples. One of the most telling and hardest for anyone to cover up, especially in conversation, is blink rate. So the more stressed someone is, the more rapidly they blink. And this is pretty much unconscious. It's really, really hard to control, even if you're highly trained. The more relaxed someone is, the more interested in something someone is, the slower they blink. In regular conversation or regular life, people will blink about 11, 15 times per minute. But if someone's stressed out, that can go up to 90 or even 100. And if you're not looking for it, you won't notice it. But But if you are looking for it, it jumps right out at you. And I can give you an example of this from, I was working with a client who was on a Zoom call, video Zoom call with a CFO, telling them all about the IT services they offered. And the CFO was very stoic, not giving off anything, you know, politely listening to everything in the portfolio that the sales rep was going through. And then the sales rep mentioned cybersecurity services, and nothing else on the CFO changed except the blink rate shot up. He suddenly started blinking really, really rapidly. Now, no one else on the call picked up on it. No one else noticed it, but I did. So we gently circled back with him later on in the conversation, you know, using some examples, not coming at him directly, making it, you know, nice and gentle about, you know, some other customers we've helped with cybersecurity. And sure enough, when we did that, he opened up, admitted that they had been hacked three months ago.
But getting away from the blinking, right? Getting away from the blinking. That's not going to be obvious to everybody. It's really not. So you're in a networking situation. You're standing around at this event and somebody's trying to sell to somebody else. How can the somebody who's trying to sell to the person they're talking to, how do they know they want to escape? They're not comfortable. They don't want to say, I'm not interested in your widget. How can you tell from their behavior, their, you know, physical, nonverbal?
If they're standing up, the most common and obvious indicator is which direction their feet are pointing in. If you see a group of people standing in a network function, the majority of people's feet will be pointing towards the person who is the most prominent in the group. Mm-hmm. If you see anyone in the group whose one foot or both foot are pointing away in another direction, that person literally wants to leave the discussion.
They want to escape because they're
literally.
That's ridiculous.
The next time you're in a function, look at people's feet who are in the group.
Yes. I always look at fake.
This comes in handy if you're not in that discussion and that person wants, someone you do want to talk to. They're pretty easy to pull away from that conversation because they're looking for an excuse.
I do look at feet, especially women's shoes, because I love the shoe. But I've never looked at which way they're pointing. That's a really good one. And it's like quite scary now. I'll be thinking I've got to point my feet in the right direction next time I see you. So,
overall, we're looking for clusters of little behaviors, like not one single body trigger will give you a whole, meaning. So we were looking for clusters and we're looking for motion. We're looking for changes in people's body language. That's the most important. And the context that's happening around them when the change happens. So you'll see lots of pictures. Oh, here's a picture of someone in a position. It means X, Y, Z. But what we really want to see is changes. We're talking with someone, they change to something less comfortable. They change to something more comfortable. And if you want, an easy interpretation, we're looking for open gestures are more relaxed. Closed gestures are more, stressful. So blink rate goes up. Breathing might change from belly to chest. That's a sign of stress. Yeah. Nostril flaring means their adrenaline is going up. Something's stressing them. More rapid speech pace or a rise in pitch in the voice is also adrenaline entering the blood system, which is a sign of stress, right? Digital flexion, which is clenching the figures, sign of stress. Relaxing the fingers, sign of comfort, right? So when you see a bunch of these going up, if you're also paying attention to what's being said in the conversation, which is important, now you have a context for what's causing that reaction, and that's what's really important. So in a casual conversation, in a negotiation, in a sales presentation, someone's got partners at their company, and they're saying, hey, yeah, everybody else's opinion is just a green stamp. What I say, is what goes, but they're giving off stressors to you. That might be something you want to look into further, because later on in the sales cycle, that might come up and throw your whole sales cycle off, because you find out in the end, no, the other partner's opinions actually were important. They're not just a rubber stamp, and someone you haven't talked to yet is killing your deal, right? Whereas if you flush this out earlier, you can dig into it and prevent, those things from derailing your opportunity.
Yeah, I think also it's important because we're all in the business of selling. If we've got a business, we want to sell something. So I think it's important to recognize, which obviously when I talked to you, when I mentioned, I move my hands around a lot. That means I'm feeling free and happy and I'm talking to you about everything under the sun, I think. But if we are maybe not catching on to these nonverbal gestures, the communication, they're not telling us, if we're not catching on to them, we might scare a client away because we don't understand how they like to be, the sales process for them. It's not just about the sales process for us selling. For instance, sometimes I've been with my husband and we're negotiating about, let's say for the sake of it, an example, a new home or a new car or something. Mm-hmm. And what I always catch is the salesperson, if it's a man, directing the conversation more to Dave, who is a man, than me, who is his wife.
And right.
I always then take an interest in, I look at them then and see why they're doing it. And I think somebody told me once it's because they know that, I don't think this is true, most women like to be part of the conversation, but most women do make the decision. They mm-hmm. like to be happy with the decision if it's a new car and a new home, obviously. So maybe salespeople who are directing it to the man versus the woman, do you know why they do that? Because the gestures are different as well. They seem to come out with more complicated terminology and stuff like that. Have you ever come across anyone like that?
That depends on the sales rep and their tenure, right? I think someone with tenure would direct it to both people. I mean,
If they're clever.
Yeah, if they're clever, you know, like, you know, if the wife doesn't want the car, you're probably not buying the car. No matter what the man says, right? But let's be real. And there's little things you can pick up in conversations. Like if I was asking, you know, let's say you both mm-hmm. a question, or I directed a question to Dave, and before he answered the question, he looked at you and then answered me.
Yeah, yeah.
I would know you're actually the decision maker.
Ooh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And if he answers the question and then looks at you afterwards, mm-hmm. you're also the decision maker, but he has some influence on you.
I love that. Is it often, and this came up the other day on a personal basis, one or other of the partnership, whether it's a business partnership or a personal partnership, you know, husband and wife, you know, just people who are together for a reason. Is it sometimes that one person will say yes and agree to something to someone who is trying to sell them something, but is not with their business partner or life partner at the time, and when they go home and discuss it, realise they've made the wrong decision because they answered too quickly to get the salesperson off their back? Do you get what
that happens all the time? That happens all the time. Yep. And then that, you know, goes back to, you know, my example from a little bit earlier, right? You ask them, hey, you know, your wife or your other business partners, you know, don't, you know, how do they weigh into this decision? And some people, or even someone in a company hierarchy, I've had this happen to me so many times. Someone's like the CFO and says it's their decision, mm-hmm. you know, they'll sign off on it. Whatever they say, the CEO will go with. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, you find out, no, it's the CEO's decision. The CFO just thought a bit too much of themselves, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
if you ask them and, you know, who actually makes the decision and they say it's them and they give off some stressors, then that's something you might want to dig into mm-hmm. a little bit further, because, you know, they're giving off some hints of not being certain about what they just told you.
That's interesting.
And you know, when it comes to nonverbal like communication, like I was saying before, it's really important, you know, you're understanding people on a better level, so you can communicate to the people on a better level, and you mm-hmm. can give the people more of what they actually want, which in sales is what you want happy people. But mm-hmm. just another example, whether it's like a personal situation or a business situation, let's say you're in a sales meeting with someone and you're making, you know, some small talk, trying to get them to know them better, right? And you start asking them about their family. Now imagine you're sitting with someone and you start asking them about their family and they tell you about their family, but the entire time they're giving off major signals of stress.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's happening in their life.
No.
But you know talking about their family is upsetting them right now. And if you don't pick up on that, you just keep talking about their family for 15 minutes and the entire time they're stressing out and feeling bad, right?
So you as opposed to,
you know, you ask someone about their family and they relax and they're lit up and they feel great and you can tell it's genuine. Okay, yeah. Now I can spend 15 minutes talking about your family because it's making you feel good. But if I didn't pick up on the stressors in the first example, I'm just digging a hole, right? When I could have pivoted and started talking about your boat or your business or your anything else, mm-hmm. right? Because so you never know what's going on.
You don't. So you're finding it, I would suggest, I would hope, that you are you are more able to read these kinds of signs and you know, what people are not saying to you. So you would probably, with your clients, you know, not rush in too quickly. I'm sure you don't rush in too quickly anyhow, but you take more time with certain clients, not rush them into making a decision and, you know, let them think it over, have more discussions with you. And that way, that's why you are, you know, you've got the experience from years ago. What is it you find the most difficult since, you know, COVID's been gone, 5 years? Do you think the business world of sales in particular has changed a lot since you, you know, started your own business since after COVID?
Yeah, COVID did change things a lot, and there's been a lot of permanent changes. There's a lot less face-to-face happening. Sales organizations have found, hey, my sales team's a lot more efficient if they're not driving everywhere. And on the customer side, the customer's saying, hey, these meetings are a lot more convenient for me. If I don't have people coming into my office all the time, I can get a lot more done on a quick Zoom meeting. And that takes, you know, it makes it, it's a lot better to build a relationship face-to-face.
Yeah.
Right. You can connect with people more. You can feel in the room. You know, you can just create a better bond. So there's a lot more video conferencing going on. And from a, you know, a body language perspective, that usually limits us to the upper half of the body if the person's camera is even on at all. Right. If the camera's not on, then it's just like a phone call. You have to, listen to speech patterns, speech speed, pitch of voice, stuff like that. And you're not getting as much information to be able to, you know, properly understand the person and properly communicate to the person. And to make sure that what you're communicating is working. Like if you're trying to make someone feel relaxed, you should be able to see signals that they are actually relaxing, right? Or if, you know, or vice versa. So I'd say that's the largest change I've experienced is a lot more video conferencing, which has its pros, has its cons as well.
Definitely. Yeah. It's been so enlightening. And now I'm going to be watching people like a hawk and looking at the hands and the feet and their eyelashes and their eyes. And I am an observer, though. I normally do take in the person before I've actually started selling to them. As you say, it's much easier if we can meet them in person. But even if somebody phones me and says, well, can we have a Zoom call to go further? I normally, you know, talk about something other than the sale or whatever it is they're looking for to make them feel comfortable. I also do the kind of thing where I say, you know, well, let's say if somebody is starting a business and they want to join the SBC, then I always ask, you know, in I hope a nice way, you know, have you got a lot of support from your family? Because it's going to be quite difficult at first. Mostly they answer yes, which is wonderful, because I'd feel uncomfortable if they were going across, you know, what their parents or their husband, wife, children didn't want, you know. So can you leave us maybe some food for thought, some kind of advice to somebody starting out as a consultant and having to sell something that our listeners could take away with them? Because it's not easy in this day and age to sell anything, to be honest. So how can you help our listeners with something from your wonderful, wonderful experience that might help them?
For just selling in their own business, starting out?
Starting out in their own business, and obviously they are going to be selling something. So just a quick tip, really, that they can, you know, take with them and remember that this is how Tom did it.
I would say look for as many people as you can find that you can help just for free, just for 5 minutes, just to give a tip and help as many people as you can. When you're in a networking event, if someone's in a situation in your area of expertise and you can give them some advice just off the cuff, I think that goes a long way and helps build your reputation and will lead to referrals and word of mouth and business. Because the more you give, I'm a true believer in the more you give, the more you get. And if, you know, if you're only giving advice when you think someone's going to pay you for it, then you're selling yourself short, I think.
You should
just be out there willing to help, just like you. Like every time I see you, you're, oh, who can I help? Who can I connect to who? Who would get along with who? You know, you're extremely helpful, right?
Thank you.
I think that's part of your, you know, your reputation. You're helping everybody, and I hope I'm building that reputation as well for myself in my own area of expertise. Because then it's like, you know, maybe you never know who knows who, and they're talking to someone, and you know, they say, oh yeah, you know, my sales are down, my sales team's struggling, and they're like, hey, I know this Tom guy. You know, he gave me this great advice the other day at a networking event. You should give him a call.
I agree. That's a wonderful tip. So how can we find you? Obviously, you've got some contact information, a website somewhere, and I know you're on LinkedIn for sure.
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, Tom Reilly, R-E-I-L-L-Y, and my website is RileySalesConsulting.com.
Well, that's easy all to remember, one word. Isn't it? One word. That's really easy to remember, Tom. Well, I can't thank you enough for your time. I really could sit and listen to you forever, and I find a lot. You see, everybody expresses themselves in a different way, as you've just shared with me, and I find you a very interesting person to talk to. So I'm looking forward to another podcast with you when you have time, and have a lovely day.
Thank you very much, Linda. You have a great day too.